Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast
of
Nussbaum Transportation. We're here with Doyle Chester and Sergio Cortez, and this is episode 150, and this is going to be a lot of fun. I just feel the energy. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I'm here.
I'm doing great.
Feeling good?
Yes.
Feeling
always.
Always.
Feeling blessed.
Feeling blessed. I like that. Yeah.
I'm blessed because of this man right here.
Well, and that's why we're here, is to tell the story of Doyle had a stroke in his truck, and through Sergio and Jenny and through God, really, just helping you, being there through that time, that you're here to tell this story. And we want to tell about stroke awareness and also just to get to know these guys, because they're two awesome guys. So I'm excited. This podcast is going to be a lot of fun. Doyle says he tells it like it is. So
yeah, I'll do my best. Keep it PG. So stay awake, kids.
So yeah, we'll see how this goes. But excited to be here. And thanks.
Thank you for inviting me to this.
Well, I'll be honest.
Something totally
from the moment I woke up over in Peoria, because that's where they flew me to.
Uh-huh.
You know, once I was ready to leave, I was like, as soon as I get home, this is the first thing I'm doing is contact Nussbaum, telling my story. You can go ahead and record what I'm saying. That way everyone knows about it, because I want to get this out there and how awesome you and Jenny were.
Yeah. It is an amazing, amazing story. So before that, I got some rapid-fire questions that I want to shoot you guys. Where are you from? And tell me a little bit about yourself. So just start. Yeah.
Well, I was born in Redwood City, California. I lived in Santa Clara, California, for almost 15 years. That is the home of true Silicon Valley, which is, I lived next, about 10 minutes away from the old Yahoo complex.
Mm-hmm.
Used to party there inside there all, but back in the day.
Okay.
And then we moved to Northern California up towards Chico Paradise.
Okay.
And then I got out of there, moved out east, North Dakota and all that fun stuff.
Okay. Is that where you started your trucking career?
In North Dakota. Well, tried to, yes, in North Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all the way from hot California to cold North Dakota.
Yeah, so basically you went from average temperature of 50s to like -4.
Okay.
That was cold.
And you liked that?
No. No one likes the cold. I hate it here. I'm ready to go to Florida now. I'm ready to get out of here.
Okay. But
I want to stay because of Nussbaum.
Yeah. Good.
But, oh, I hate the cold.
We don't have runs to Florida.
Oh, that storm we had last Thursday, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to get out of here from that.
And your trucking journey, where'd you start off at? What company?
Warner Enterprise out of Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
Back in 04.
And you worked there for several 12
years?
12 years.
12 years, yeah.
Okay, and then from there to Nussbaum?
Right, yeah, from there right to here.
How'd you find out about Nussbaum?
I had a friend working here named Matt back in the day.
Okay.
That I actually met. We had the same delivery out of Menards way up in northern Minnesota.
Okay.
We both got there way early, so we just parked window to window like we do, and just started chatting for like 3 hours until they opened.
Okay. So you guys hit it off.
Right off the bat.
And did he try to like sell you on
coming? No, he sold me over the years. It took about 3 years to finally come over.
Oh, really? Okay. So you guys were just good buddies.
Still are to this day.
Good, good. Yeah. That's awesome. What about you, Sergio?
I'm from Tijuana, Mexico. Just the very first city south of the border.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I actually grew up a half a block from the border.
Okay.
So
that's
then
cool.
Within time, you know, I needed to migrate. Come to the United States. I stay in San Diego, which all my sisters still live in there.
Yeah.
My oldest brother come and moved to Illinois, north of Chicago, Chicago. And then within the years, move over here to Chicago.
Huh.
Met my wife there. She have family over here in central Illinois, in Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
After we have our first daughter, we moved over here. That was 32 years ago.
Mm. So, wow.
Yep. Remember, English is my second language.
Your trucking career.
My trucking career started right there in Clinton, BFI, Browning Ferris Industries.
Yeah. That's cool.
Through the garbage to the medical waste disposal right there in Clinton.
Yeah.
And they helped me get my CDL. I never went to school for driver. It was all go get the book and go get your license.
That's it. We do what we got to do to get in.
That's it. Actually got in there because they promised me I would be working days. Because at that time I was supervisor at nights.
Okay.
And I was like, are you guys sure you're going to be able to tie me up with day position?
Yeah.
And they were, yes. So I went and got my CDL. And
wow.
After that, I went on my own for a few years. And that's how I ended up over here in Nussbaum. Okay.
How many kids you got?
Two.
Two kids. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And then you're on dedicated
now? Yes, right now
Rivian?
I'm dedicated with Rivian, which she works up like a glove.
Oh.
Because I'm right there dedicated from Clinton to Rivian.
Okay.
And that's the reason why I call myself right now the part-time driver.
You're a part-time driver.
That's what I call myself because that's why I feel. I was telling my fiance that I have never had in my whole life a job where I work only 8 hours, ever.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, in Mexico, I started working when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
I was used to go working at the upholstery shop.
Yeah.
Helping out in there, cleaning or whatever needed to be moved or holding the table while the guy was using the sewing machine and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He used to do upholstery for cars.
Okay.
So it was a specialized upholstery. Yeah. So every once in a while he did the neighbor's couches and stuff like that. But his main thing was automotive.
So you've been working since year five.
Yes, and I remember I was telling Jenny the other day, the first day I went to school, well, before I went to school, when I went to sign up for school, I cried because I was going to have to leave my job to go to school. And it was so cool that the owner of the shop told me, it's like, as long as you bring good grades and come back when you get off of school, come over here and sweep the shop and all that. Because I was in Mexico, they have two shifts of school, one in the morning, one in the evening, and I was in the evening. So I was to come in and sweep out the shop and all that, and he kept my pay the same.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually was, you know.
Sure.
At that time, I was that, but it was enough for me to buy, at that time, a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, and a 36 eggs?
Yeah.
A carton of eggs a week.
And that's what you needed?
And that's what I needed for, to help my mom.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And then, Doyle, are you also dedicated?
Yeah, with, I guess, a Torfer Cat dealer throughout the Midwest, I guess we should say.
Okay.
Or I guess we'll call it the Tri-State.
Tri-State, okay.
Start off in East Peoria, down to Springfield, over to Hannibal, Missouri. Yeah. Last stop, which is an ag stop, my only ag store, West Branch, back to East Peoria.
Okay.
And we do all our loading and unloading on a forklift.
Okay, so you use the forklift.
No, there's no customers there ever. There's no getting bills signed. We just drop our stuff, pick up what we need, and go to the next door. So you're just pick and drop, pick and drop, pick and drop.
Hmm.
It probably could be 16 feet long, weighing 5,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be an attachment, like a jackhammer attachment, weighing 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Or anything down to like a little O-ring that...
Yeah.
It could be basically any part that Caterpillar sells that they want overnighted.
Yeah.
We move it.
Wow.
There's three of us out there. So shout out to Troy. Oh, I'm having a brain fart. Troy, he's based out of Cedar Rapids. And then we have Ken. He goes down to Clinton, too, and back up to East Peoria.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have I don't do that on here. Sorry, we'll get into the story why my brain's a little...
Yeah, that's all right. And we can...
I can cut.
He can cut stuff out, so it's all right. All right, rapid fire questions, and then we're going to tell the story. So...
Don. What's up, Don? That's what I wanted to say. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all right. Doyle, what's your dream car or truck?
Oh, a nice... Oh, folks, a nice turbo diesel. Well, all diesels are turbo, I guess. A nice diesel Ford F-350.
Okay.
Yes, nice. Sign me up. I got the 250, but it's not diesel, though.
Okay.
It's an EcoBoost. Yay!
Sergio, what was your neighborhood like growing up?
Poor.
Hmm. Nothing else you remember about it?
It was nice.
Okay.
The freedom of having literally no worries, it was nice, and I missed that.
Okay.
How was the food?
Yeah.
What food?
You didn't have much food. fresh tortillas.
And it's not like I'm trying to victimize. No, it was just the reality. You know, it was my time that they got me to live through that.
Yeah.
And I'm, like and I say, I'm no longer there. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's all that matters.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Yes, fresh tortillas. Always fresh tortillas. Ooh.
Doyle, what's a crazy business idea you've never told us?
Heck with it. I'll go with the trucking. Why not? And put Newsbomb out of business.
Okay.
No. You know, that's not trucking. You know, that's not happening.
A funny story. When I was hired at Newsbomb, you know how Brent comes in there and he says, you know, what do you want out of Newsbomb or whatever? And I told him, I was like, no. Everybody was like, well, I want to, you know, get a better pay or this. All the guys that were in my class. And I went in this like, no, I really know. I don't look at it. I was like, you know what I do? Change the name. You know, look at me like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, I think Newsbomb Cortez Inc. sounds like a good idea to me.
Told him that.
Yes,
I have an idea.
What's your idea?
A legit one. Because I'm from California. There is no good taco trucks out here.
Mm.
You haven't been to one.
And Peoria
a good one.
Because my favorite food is tacos, to be surprising.
Yeah.
I grew up on that stuff. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, all of it. If it's not a tortilla, I don't like it, basically. Yeah. Mm. There's no hot sauce, don't give it to me.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of good, legit Mexican restaurants here in Bloomington.
Yeah. Yes, I've been to the one over there next to that overrated Italian place.
Agave, that's...
Oh.
No, that's not Mexican.
Yeah.
It's not?
No. And I was there last week.
Yeah, what are the good ones?
Oh, there's one right here, man. I can't think of the name. And then
Taco
Grande.
Tony's Tacos.
Right next to the
La
Mexicana. Carnicería La Mexicana. Right next door.
Los Trillos?
Los Potrillos is not bad.
Okay.
That's the one I was talking about. Especially from that one restaurant. Chain.
Yeah. And then there's one right down here in Maine. Well, by... like a few blocks south of campus.
Okay.
I'm evading the name. I cannot think of it. But, yeah, there are a couple of good ones here in Bloomington.
Mm.
But then again, you know, they're authentic Mexican.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people, they're like, oh, no, that wasn't all that. I was like, well, you're not going to find a crunchy taco in there.
Yeah. It's the real stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I got another question.
El Portón.
El Portón.
Go to that one.
All right. Who's one celebrity you wouldn't want to fight?
None of them. I don't think I have a celebrity that I want to fight.
All right. What about this? What's a nickname you had as a kid?
Capu.
What's that?
C-A-P-U. Comedian from Mexico.
Oh.
I say mid-70s.
Okay.
Mid-70s to 80s, maybe.
Yeah.
And in junior high, they say that I look like him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they used to call me the full name, which is Capulina, and that cut down to Capu.
Okay.
No way. C-A-P-U. And that has been my place ever since I came to the United States.
No way.
From my first, the place I have now, other plays that I have had through my life in the United States.
Yeah, that's cool. Doyle, what are the funniest movies of all time?
Oh, that's easy. Spaceballs. that was a funny movie.
Yes.
Also, Adam Sandler where he's golfing.
Happy Gilmore.
That was a funny movie.
Yeah.
But the part two was lame. It was boring. It was forced.
It wasn't bad. I mean, if you expect that continuous of Happy Gilmore 2 wasn't too bad. In the same note, that movie of that, I like Adam Sandler a lot.
Yeah.
I
like Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Deeds.
Oh, yes, the drinking fountain with the Hawaiian punch. Classic. Sign me up, but make that tequila instead.
Yes.
I'm not a drinker, but that just sounds interesting.
Okay. Well, thanks for answering my icebreaker questions. I think we've thoroughly broke the ice. So I want to hear this story. I've been waiting to hear it. And tell it from your perspective, Doyle. And then, Sergio, I want to hear your perspective and how they kind of merged together. So, Doyle, we'll start with you and just walk us through what happened.
Well, I loaded up out of East Peoria like I normally do. Docked out around 7 p.m. like I normally do. And I got into my truck. I go, you know, if you know, if you see it right there off 74 and 155 right there. Hopped on 155. I got 155. All of a sudden, I start feeling weak. Like, very tired, like, instantly. Like I could pull off right here and just sleep on the highway. I was like, no, don't do that. So what I normally do is I tough it out, roll down the windows, spark 55 cigarettes, which is not good. Don't do that. That's probably what caused my stroke. I was kidding about the 55 part, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But I was like, I have to do something. I have to get off the road. So I toughed it out to get all the way down to Lincoln. That wasn't actually right there where the pilot's at. I did pull off to the side there and decided I'm going to sleep with her off on the shoulder. But I remember safety said, don't do that. The AI is going to go off. So I remember all I have to do is go to the light, make a left, and make another right into the truck stop. And luckily, there was a spot where I had to just go around it and pull straight in. I was like, sweet. And I just hopped in my truck and went right to bed. But once I got there, I went to my bed. I was like, I'm out. My whole left side didn't want to work. As I was driving it, I just felt like shaky. I didn't know what was going on. So I passed out. I woke up. I set my alarm. All right, let's sleep another hour. I was that tired. Like, all my energy just completely just left my body. And that's not normal because I love driving nights.
Mm.
So, and that's what I do on this account. You run nights, so it's something they put me on. I'm used to.
Mm.
But every ounce of my energy was gone. Like, someone just grabbed it on my body and snagged it. Like, it was like a devil me. Just took it right out of me. Mm. So then I passed out. And you want me to keep going from there? Or?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, so I passed out. I set my alarm because I had to be down in Springfield by 7, so I'm there in Lincoln. So, like, I still have plenty of time. I really don't have any lates because they really don't get until 7 or 8, so I know I still have plenty of time. So I woke up with a bad cramp in my left calf. That's what woke me up to stand up. And once I stood up, I went to reach for something down in near my console, like a cup or something, because I had dentures where it's where I keep my teeth, in water in a cup. That's why my wife called you, hey, you know, where's my husband's teeth?
Yeah.
It's probably one of the worst conversations you ever got on the phone.
And no, in that part, actually, I put the other cup on it because they had a little bit of water. And I'm like, man, I don't know how to treat this. So I'm like, I'm just going to cover it with the other cup that you have in there.
Well, for $1,800, they're expensive to replace. So I was like, where are they? Let's put an APB out for my teeth.
Yeah.
So I woke up to try to grab them so I could get dressed, get ready. But once I stood up to go grab them, I just fell straight to the ground.
Ugh.
My whole left side did not want to work. So I was laying there. Unfortunately, I had the driver's side window open. It was cold that night. We just got done having all those tornado storms that Monday night. So I kept trying to want to get myself up, to at least sit on the bed. My body wouldn't let me. All my strength was gone, like energy-wise. It was like, imagine going to a high school football practice your first day after having summer off, and everybody and your bone is just so tired that you just don't want to do anything. You don't even want to go party with any girls or anything. You just want to sleep and just chill. That's how I felt. Like every ounce of my energy was still gone.
Mm.
But then I was laying on the mat so long because I fell on my shoulder, so I didn't bust my shoulder. It hurt when you land on it. To find out I had too much calcium build up in my shoulder, so that's why my movement was very limited on using my arm.
Mm.
Okay.
So I couldn't reach, which I need to talk to the shop. At first, I used to put that emergency button down there on the bottom of the dash. But the truck I recently got, it's way up top. You have to be sitting in the seat to reach it. It's up in your top cubby. So there's no way I can reach that laying on the ground. I couldn't reach my phone. My phone was near the bunk. Now, keep in mind, I don't sleep in my truck. I'm home every night. So it's not like I had backup planned it all over. Perhaps I could have grabbed the tablet like this and just brought it down. But I wouldn't know what to do. I was out of it.
Yeah, like you said, it's all a blur. You don't.
But I heard my phone going off. I heard the tablet kept going off. But I was frozen. Not dead, but frozen on the ground because I guess supposedly, I did have a stroke. My whole left side was not working in my body. And to find out, I had a clogged artery that went to my brain that was causing bleeding in my brain. I don't know the proper, like Grok says, I'm not a doctor, so don't take advice from me. That's what AI says. All the time you ask it a doctor question. No, I'm not a doctor. I can't, you know. So don't take advice from me. I mean, I'm still trying to understand and learn what I went through.
Sure, yeah.
But I'll get into the other story another day with OSF. That's not here.
Okay. So is this where Sergio comes in and Jenny? Or?
Well, all I heard was, I'm on the ground laying down. Here comes Sergio. Doyle, you there? Because I guess my window's open. He saw that. And I guess somehow, some way, I must have raised my hand. He saw that while I was on the ground. So he just took it as opened the door and just hopped up the truck like Spider-Man. And like, what's going on? And here he is trying to get me up, and I just had no strength on my left side, so I couldn't. So he's trying to get up the skinny guy. I'm like a toothpick. This guy's like freaking Spider-Man trying to get a toothpick up, and I wasn't helping him. I was making it worse. And then finally, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to call an ambulance, and he just took it out and just did it. And called an ambulance, and all of a sudden there was two people with the ambulance, I guess?
Six.
Six?
And you were fighting them.
Like, not fighting, just...
Like, you're not getting me out of my truck.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there's a lot of it I don't remember still.
Wow.
So I'm hearing it for the first time, too, a lot of this.
Yeah. Because this is the first time you met Sergio.
The first time, yes.
In person, you don't remember.
Yes, because I was admitted to OSF in Peoria there at the Children's Hospital. As you're coming around the turn, you look left. Cross street is all Carl, but to the left is the hospital there. I guess they took me to Lincoln.
Yes.
So they took me to Lincoln OSF. And then they flew me in a helicopter from Lincoln all the way to Peoria. After insurance cover, that's a $22,000 helicopter ride. Hmm. I know, that was expensive.
Wow.
I should have went with my wife. She went for free in our car. Because she went to the same location I did. And I got there faster. So what? And luckily, a few days prior, my wife started using that Life 360 app to track each other. She noticed I was sitting in the same spot for 8 hours. So that's how she was concerned why she kept calling me. Because it's not normal for me to be sitting in the same spot for so long. So she started to call me to see what's going on. That's a great app. Life 360, you can track your family members.
Mm.
Just your family members, no one else.
Yeah.
It's a great app. It's called Life 360. It's free, too.
Mm.
You just put in your email, your number, and it will track where your loved ones are.
Mm. That's cool. Yeah, I use it.
So, once she called again, I guess Sergio grabbed the phone and started talking to her. And she's like, I'm on my way. That was that Monday night after all the storms we had. We're in what, June?
No. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on a Monday.
March 13th?
It was 13th? On a Friday.
Yeah, it was like March 13th around there. Mm-hmm. So she rushed down. I just live north of here of headquarters. So it's about a half-hour drive for her straight down south. She got down there and... I guess she knew where I was going to, they're taking me to, so she raced up to Peoria from Lincoln, just straight up 155. But, yeah, Sergio and I guess the entire hospital of Lincoln just got me out of the truck, because I guess I was fighting them, like, no, I'm not going anywhere.
First, the ambulance showed up, and there was a guy and a girl, and then I was looking at them, and mm-hmm. I was like, man, I don't know if they're going to be there enough to get him out, because mm-hmm. I lift him up. But, well, I guess I can start mine.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to take me back even before that, like, uh-huh. How did you hear about this? Yes. And did you get there?
And, you know, as we all say, you know, God's plan is bigger than us. Mm-hmm. And even that, it's like everything. Once you step out and see the big puzzle,
yeah.
I get choked up because I see that. And I don't know, as my family tells me, it's like, you know, they knew that you were the indicated because I have seen people with stroke and stuff like that. But I dedicated to Clinton, okay? And Christine asked me if I can help him out with something, but it's not going to finish until Saturday.
Mm.
And I was like, and we know this. At that time, that weekend, I didn't have nothing going on. Normally, my fiance, which is getting ready to move in with me, lives in Chicago, and I wasn't going to go see her, and I really didn't have any plans. And I was, you know what? Yes, I'll help you. That now with the dedicated and being in kind of like a salary, I told her, I was like, no big deal. It's like, I'm not making anything. It's like, but I'll help out. No, mm-hmm. I have always helped out.
Yeah.
And I happened to be here waiting for the load that it was going to go because somebody else couldn't make it to have the time to deliver the load that I was helping with because it wasn't my load. So I was here at 6 o'clock ready to roll, and the load didn't get here till close to 7, and he was supposed to be here at 6, but the guy was running behind. So then I'm rolling out of here, and by the time I'm rolling close to Lincoln, I'm like 3 miles from that exit, and Jenny calls me. And it's like, hi, Sergio, can you go check on a guy that is right there in Lincoln? It's like, he hasn't responded. And I'm like, where? It's like, the truck stop in Lincoln. And I just happened to be like, oh, yeah, you got to take this exit right now. And so I took the exit. I went and checked up on you. And as he say, I didn't see the hand. I just heard the grunt, you know. I went in there, look it up. Everything is good. I'm knocking windows, doors. And I was getting ready to call Jenny to tell her if it was okay for me to get in the truck. Because Jenny was like, you know, it's not normal for him not to answer his phone call. And we haven't been able to get a hold of him. So I'm talking to Jenny from the exit all the way to the truck stop to you know, giving me info of what's the truck number, what's the guy's name, and all that, you know, the driver's name. And he was like, no, yeah, Doyle is not like that. And he's been sitting there for a little bit. And I was like, okay, yeah, go check it out. I get down. Go in there, knock on the door, windows, nothing. And then all of a sudden, like he said, his window was open about that much. And then I heard, oh. And I was like, oh, no, never mind. I'm not calling. I got to check it out.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and yeah, he's on his side like that. And I was like, hey, Doyle, are you okay? I was like, yeah, man, I got a cramp, and I fall in here, and I can't get up. And I was like, how long you been there? It's like, I don't know, maybe about an hour and a half.
Wow. He's looking at my clock and it's saying exactly how long because it shows how long you've been sitting.
His clock, his tablet is on his logbook, and the logbook shows on duty since midnight because he already rolled into the next day.
Yeah.
So he's been there for at least 8 hours. And I'm like, okay. And I start keep talking to him and try to keep him.
Awake. Don't fall asleep.
And I was like, are you okay? He was like, yeah. Just help me up. A coffee and a cigarette, and I'm good to roll. And that's the first time I see his full face, and I see the little bit of the drooping of the face.
Yeah.
But then again, I never met the guy. So I was like, I don't know if he's something that he, like my brother when he had his truck, his face is a little slightly dropped. Yeah. So I didn't know that. And I was like, okay. And I keep talking to him. And he just like, no, yeah, I've been here. And it's just, I can't get up. And I was like, don't worry about it. I'll help you out.
Yeah.
So I climb on the top of it and the back of it. And I'd like lift him. And that's the first time I noticed that he had resistance in his right hand. But his left hand was no resistance, no nothing. Huh. I was pulling the left hand like nothing. Wow. He wasn't pulling that one back.
Like my whole left side was dead.
And yeah, just,
it didn't want to help him at all.
And then I was like, okay, let's flip you a little bit front, face to face because he was sideways. Mm-hmm. And then I'll lift you up. And then when I noticed that he was able to move his right leg, he couldn't move his left leg at all. And that's when I was like, no, this is wrong. And then he was keep telling me, he's like, yeah, man, once I get up, I'll walk around the truck, a cigarette and a coffee. And that one, I was like, no.
Yeah.
And then by then, I had a hold of his phone already, which he got it in the little cubby in the back of the truck, which I put mine there at nights. I was like, okay, looks like, well, let me call Jenny. And this and that, I called Jenny with my phone. And I told her, I was like, hey, you know, this guy is not looking right. I was like, I want to say to Mike, for what I see, he had a stroke. He said they help him out to drive. I was like, but if it was my call, I would not let this guy drive today. I was like, and he was like, don't know. Tell him that don't worry about it. And I was like, let me call you with this phone, put you on speaker. And then I call her back with this phone. And then there's like, Jenny was like, no, don't worry about it, Doyle. You know, once you feel better, blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at him, and I can see he's like, talking, but it's no
like understanding.
His eyes was like gone. You can tell that he was just in automatic talking and responding and all that, but it was no, and I don't like knowledge behind his eyes. Right. It was no, and I was like,
just a blank stare.
Yes, a blank stare.
The whole time
stare.
I kept asking, just give me a coffee and a cigarette. That's basically what I've been doing most of my life. That was probably what caused it. So I'm thinking, just go ahead and give it to me. That's what's going to boost me up. I mean, that's my Spanish for Popeye.
Yeah.
And obviously, no, that's what probably caused it.
Yeah.
So I'm just being Mr. Tough Guy, just saying, just give me this, give me that.
Yeah.
And that's the least thing I needed.
Yeah. So then by then, I told Jenny, I was like, you know, I think when I need to call an ambulance. And he was like, if you think that's what it does, like, yeah, no. I was like, no, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, at the same time, I was aware of, you know, I don't know this guy from anything. Yes, and I was like, I don't want to make a call where this guy is going to accrue a $15,000 ambulance bill, and he just literally needs help to lift up. So I was like, Doyle, what's the name of your wife so I can look it up in your phone? And he was like,
not my baby mama.
Yeah, no, but first you couldn't even think of that. You were like so gone, and I was like, Doyle, what's your wife's name? And he just like, I was like, oh, I got it registered, not my baby mama.
Yeah, that's why. And then I look at his,
missed phone calls, and I see all the Jenny and how like, oh. So I put it on, I call her, put it on speaker, and I told her, hey, you know, this is Sergio, Doyle is okay, he's awake, blah, 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 but I'm seeing this. I don't know if this is normal.
Yeah.
And then she was like, Doyle, stick your tongue out. And then he goes, and you can see the tongue a little bit sideways.
Yeah.
And now at that point, I was like, no, yeah, I think we need to call an ambulance. So like, please do that.
I believe the reason why Jenny was like, why am I still sitting? Because Newsbomb and all the companies I've ever been to, they were so used to me communicating. I'm real anal about that. I know it doesn't make sense, but it does in my head. A load is not late because I'm not there yet. I mean, it could always be rescheduled. I know it doesn't make sense, but to me it does. If I'm not there yet, it's not late. It's there on time when I get there. No matter if I have to put in 10 delays and then communicate what's going on. Everything can always be rescheduled.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't make sense, but in my head it always
Communication's key. Mm-hmm.
Very key. Be proactive. Let people know what's going on. So if I had to stop, they're so used to me seeing a message waiting for them in the morning, and there was nothing for them to see.
And something was very wrong. Off. And you could tell. And I know, Doyle, you're trying to be the tough guy and push through. Like, we all would probably try to do that same thing. But
it was a serious moment.
It was a very serious moment, and you made a great call to get that ambulance. So the ambulance shows up. Yes. You said it's a man and a woman.
And a man and a woman.
Come out.
So they got in there. I got out.
Yeah.
And they're going in there. It was really windy.
Yeah.
And the door keeps shutting on us because it was blowing right through the door as it was open. So I get down and hold the door. And then the fireman comes in and is like, hey, man, can you come in and with your truck block some of the wind as we're trying to get him off? I'm like, yeah. I didn't even think about it. Put my truck in front where the wind was coming. And by then another fire truck come in.
Uh-huh.
So we had two fire trucks and an ambulance there. And that's when they all come in there. They brought the stretcher and everything.
And they brought a board for me to slide down, too, right? From the driver's seat?
And they were like, ladies in there, we got you. I was like, no, you're not going to get me off my truck. And he was like, no, don't worry. And I was like, Doyle, don't worry. They're helping you out.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, they're going to get me off my truck, and I'm never going to get it back.
You know, I mean, it's a tough guy, paranoid guy.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking away my livelihood.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No. It wasn't. You were not. The way you were expressing it, I wasn't taking it as they were taking you off your livelihood. They were like, somebody's ripping you off your truck. Like, this is my truck. It. Yeah, you're not taking my truck.
Okay, that I don't remember. Okay, see, that's new to me. I didn't.
That's what I get out of it. It wasn't that you were worried about, you know, they taking me out of my truck. I'm not going to drive. I was like, that was more of the worry. Like, this is my truck. You ain't taking my truck.
And good thinking on whose call it was to have everyone have a universal key. Because without that key.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to get in.
A window would have been broken.
Yeah.
Yes. So they finally get him into the stretcher, into the ambulance. I ask them where they're going to take him, and it's like, yeah, right here at the Lincoln Memorial. I text Heather, right?
Yeah, my wife.
I text Heather the address. I've been talking to her and all this and all that because I called her, and I was like, hey, Heather, I'm ready to call 911, but I want to make sure that this is the right call. Mm. You know, as I say, my brother has a little bit of a droopy face, and he might have just had a cramp or whatever.
Right.
I don't want to incur a $15,000 bill for somebody
that
in reality was just having a cramp. Even that everything wasn't, you know, as I say, when I was talking to him, a lot of things were not making sense.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but your instincts made the right call.
For sure.
So.
The only call that needed to be made.
And yeah, then that's.
You were thinking about the safety of the human, not about who's paying for what, just the safety of the human.
Yeah.
And
this says a lot about you as a person.
It does.
Us, again, you know, like I tell them, everybody, you know, I was just the driver that was there at that time. But as my family tells me, it's like you were positioned in there to be the driver. Mm-hmm. Because able to, like I said, one of my brothers have that, so I kind of recognize that. And be able to be in the area, to keep him awake, and to be able to make the phone calls to work, to be able to make the phone calls to the wife and all that. Somebody else probably wouldn't done that.
Yeah.
Somebody else would be like, well, man, you know, I don't know, what can I do for you, or anything. You know, you awake, yeah, okay, well, let's wait till you, you know, your cramp goes off or whatever,
yeah,
instead of making a faster call to get EMS in there.
But what I've heard from the doctors is sometimes people can go days on the floor without being helped.
Really?
Could go days at home. Oh. And the first signs are, you're like, you couldn't even like move your hand. You can't, any hand, like your whole right side just stops working.
So this is probably a good point to talk about stroke awareness. And I think we've gotten to the point of, in this story, that you've been transported to the hospital, you start getting treated by doctors.
Yes.
And
I think it's not the cardiologist, that's for women, sorry. The stroke doctor, what are they called? Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There you go. You can Google it.
Yeah.
I'm glad everything that went down, I was with Newsbomb Corporation.
Yeah.
Because they've been nothing but a blessing to help with.
And this is what this is it's a testimony of how God helped you through this, and Sergio and Jenny. It's an amazing story of heroic, I think, really being brave in a moment and stepping up and helping someone else out. I mean, that's amazing. Really.
And as I say, you know, all the credits go to Jenny.
Yeah.
For her to be able to recognize it, to be able to see it, to see that, hey, this guy is not my normal guy.
Yeah.
Something is up. Because she told me that. It's like, it's not normal for him not to call back. It's not normal to him not to communicate. Something is not right.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Jenny is, I believe she covers a lot of dedicated and a lot of flatbed, too. I guess that is considered dedicated. Not sure.
Yeah.
So if you've ever had to deal with dedicated department, then you talk to Jenny. She is awesome.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's great. No, I love that. So, Jenny played a huge role in this. We want to thank her, too.
At first, I thought it was Kirsten that runs nights.
Yeah.
Because that's who I, would assumed.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know I was there so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know I was on the ground there in the truck for almost 10 hours.
Mm. Almost 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I still don't know.
But
he stopped like close to 8 o'clock, and by the time I got there, it was 8 o'clock in the morning.
And I know my wife's gonna watch this next week because she wants to, and I want to thank her for everything that she's done with communicating with Peg.
Yeah,
them two have been. Oh, HR has been a blessing.
Wow,
they've been helping. Like 2 days after I woke up, figure out what's going on, they had short-term disability forms to my wife already. Doctors start filling out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So if you're not paying for that driver's, do it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing. I wanted to spend a little bit of time about stroke awareness. So when people come across a situation, either themselves or someone else, they know what to look for. And so help me out here. So stroke is loss of blood flow to the brain for a blood clot or something like that. So tell me, how do you know if a stroke is happening?
Well, from what I was told, I had I think it's called a hemorrhagic. I know I didn't pronounce that right. Sorry, I'm not a doctor.
It's all right.
Those are too many words in my vocabulary or letters. But it's basically I had an artery that was clogged and I had bleeding in the brain. But now they're not going to put a stent in that clogged artery because they don't want to push that stuff that blocked the artery into my brain and let it just start floating around. So they put me on aspirin, like basically blood thinners. Remember, not a doctor, I'm just going to basically what they told me. To thin out my blood to see if it will naturally push it out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of forcing it out. Because they don't want that clot stuff in my artery into my brain. So it's basically this side here, that would be my left side, which is the part that makes you think, I guess. Left from right, I guess.
I haven't had my stroke my whole life, I don't think.
Yeah. Oh no.
So basically, your trying to lift your arm, it would just drop completely because you have no. It's not because you don't have the muscles or the tendons working. It's just your brain doesn't want it to work.
Yeah.
Because you need your brain to move things.
Yeah, to tell you.
So that part of the brain is not working. So it could happen while you're sleeping. It could happen just walking 5 feet on a road. Just from here to the kitchen, it could happen between there and then. So it, you don't have to be awake for it to happen. It can happen when you're asleep.
Mm. I have never had a stroke, so I wouldn't know the symptoms. Mm. But just for what I have read, and trust me, after this happened to Doyle, I was like, I need to know more.
Yeah.
I'll try to avoid it. And yes, drivers, please, every 2 hours, get off and walk around your truck.
Mm.
The lack of flow of the blood to the brain.
Sure.
Yeah. Or the clog or whatever is what causes that. Yeah. And now sitting for so long, we create clots in the lug on our legs that without knowing it, they just move up.
Yeah.
So movement is like the biggest part to avoid that. Natural way to avoid that is that. And I highly recommend every 2 hours. And I know I done it. I've been trucking for 30 years, and it's been times when I have drove almost to the 8 hours in my alarm going like, hey, you need to take a break with that before I pull over to do anything. Mm-hmm. But I I wouldn't say more than recommend. I was like, I wish I can enforce it somehow to stop every 2 hours, walk around your truck. It will take you 3, 4, 5 minute stops. And get back in it and keep going. As we say, you know, no load is more important than your life.
Mm.
So, yes.
And that's what got me to pull over, because I still, no matter how I feel, I always put safety first. Now, also, another sign is it's probably going to happen. Also, I'm not a doctor. So, 2 energy drinks and cigarettes all night, like every night, 5 nights a week, is probably not the answer. It's probably what caused a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all want to have our coffee and our energy drinks, but drivers, stay away from that crap.
Mm.
I know it's easy to say now because I had an incident, but I get what you're thinking. Trust me, I was one of those people. I still am.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of hard to say it now. You already had it, right?
So are drivers more susceptible to getting strokes because of that, like the sitting, you said? Like, is...
Well, we, as a road captain, we just had the summit, and one of our road captains went through a stroke, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Recently, yes, Mike. And he actually retired. He said he doesn't want to drive anymore.
Hmm.
He called in for the road captain call.
Mike Klein?
No.
Or?
I cannot think of his name. But
okay. He
was just telling us of, you know, give us a little bit more. And by then I had already, everything he said, I had read it like the night before. And yeah, it's. Within the past probably 2 months, we have got, I think, 2 or maybe, at least 2 that I know that have strokes.
Wow.
Trust me, guys, I get it. The recovery part is, it's a pain in the rear to get all that recovery stuff back up and going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not thinking straight. Your brain is all, you know, you're thinking one thing, but all you want to do is go get back out and make money for your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm thinking about right now, is get back on the horse, not get off it.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. People do what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has their own situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's that blood flow. So the heart difference between a heart attack and a stroke is heart attack happens when there's the blood, like the heart's not functioning as it should, and you lose
Blood. The heart just working so hard because of whatever issues you have.
Yeah.
Hypertension.
Yeah.
You know, type 2 diabetic and all that. So the heart attack is just the heart overworking to the point it just stops.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, if I had to put an analogy, I would assume it's kind of like your piston working in your block, but the oil runs out and just you have no lubrication anymore.
And the stroke is when, for what I read, is just the clot or lack of oxygen to the brain too. So one of those 2 can give you a stroke.
Mm,
So the part of the lack of oxygen, I don't know how would it happen. Like I say, all this is grok and me reading.
Your brain needs blood too, right? And there's really only one blood flow, which is through your spinal cord. Yes. Like you got that nerve and the blood's coming up. So if that gets blocked, you know, if there's something that blocks it, then that's going to be the experience of a stroke.
It probably helps to get better in shape, not smoking and drinking all these energy drinks that they sell at all the truck stops. Hmm. I mean, I've been addicted to Celsius because all the million different flavors and the dose. Yeah. You got all these fruity flavors, not smell. Yeah, it says sugar-free and carb-free, but is it really? Or is it just artificial sugar sweeteners?
So then, as far as looking for signs, something to look for is that drooping
in your face.
The drooping of the face
is a telltale sign.
Side
of your body not working. That's a great one. Cognitive ability, you mentioned.
Yes.
Like not remembering things you should know.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
And not only that, it's like they don't make sense when they're talking. They'll be like, well, there was with my dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was that?
Yeah, I mean, no one's talking about my dog. He just brought it up for no reason.
Well, yeah, the clouds and, and something that is completely off.
I guess a great way to explain it, like, you're talking like you're drunk, but you're not.
Or more like when you're learning to talk.
Yeah.
You know, when a child is like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense.
Yes, no. And that's one of the biggest symptoms. Yeah. That, you know, it's time to.
So.
The part off of it that he was clear.
Yeah.
It was just not making sense.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things. But he was like.
Yeah.
And when he couldn't think of his wife's name and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is when I was like. I was worried about, like, no, this is slightly more serious than just a cramp and numb to the side because you fall in there.
Yeah. So what should you do in that situation? Should you do the same thing that you did and call emergency, a 911?
Yes, 911.
Because really what they need is to go to either get blood thinner or a stent needs to be put in if there's a blockage there.
Yeah, and as a single, you know, we all have driving by ourselves.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend that. As soon as you feel something tingling in your tongue, numbness in your either side of your body, you know, that pull over.
Yeah.
Pull over before it's something worse.
If you're trying to speak and you're like severe stutterer, but you've never been like that in your life, that's a huge sign as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't put your words together with what you want to say because your brain's not working properly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not putting two and two together.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're talking in like a tongue twister way.
Mm.
Like row your boat 20 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Or tell you get to number 18, that's what you sound like.
Yes. And recognizing the little stuff before the big ones come over, as he did, it was able to pull over, you know, be in a safe side. Because if it hits you, you know, while you're driving and you're trying to force yourself, like, oh, no, I just got 20 more miles to go or an hour more to go, I toughen this up. Please don't.
Because then you might hurt someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and last thing you want to do is flip that truck and kill people.
Right.
I didn't want to do that. I just want to get off the road. I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
I have not, through my 30 years of driving, I have known several drivers that they have got into an accident. Even that was not their fault, but it was a fatal accident that they cannot drive anymore.
Mm. Don't just matter how hot that.
Of even it wasn't their fault, somebody died.
Don't matter how hot that load is. If you don't want to, you don't feel safe, get off the road.
Yeah.
Just get off. I don't care if that load is going to save the world. Get off the road.
Mm.
What was about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, a guy was coming out of the exit, and then I say a little girl because I think he was teenage.
Yeah.
Here in Nussbaum.
Wow.
Going into the entrance and from the front end collide, and the little girl died.
Don't matter if you've been driving for a year. I guarantee you've seen some stuff you wish you were never involved in.
That guy, he was a Nussbaum driver. I don't remember the name. Like I say, it was many years ago. That guy didn't come back. He was like, no, I cannot drive anymore. Yeah.
Stuff you just don't live down.
Yes, no.
Can't forget about it.
Oh, no. Oh, I've seen stuff I wish I never saw.
Yeah, me too.
And I still live, I remember it. The first one is going around the loop of Atlanta. We were all backed up, but they brought us right by the scene. And I saw a small body bag, about yay big, on the ground. You know exactly what's in that small bag. Because why would they bring out a big one for something so small?
When I was with the garbage company, one of the runs was to Steuben, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. from Clinton to Steuben. And of course, it was, you know, lucky 294. One of the flatbeds, they had the metal rolls mm-hmm. have come up, mm-hmm. and it looked like a minivan behind it, but it was just flattened and bloods. Like, I don't know how many people were in the minivan, but it was that thing was literally like a tortilla and blood around it.
Gross, yeah.
So, ugh. I mean, however that thing come undone, it just come undone and hit, like I say, I don't know, maybe an SUV, but it looked like a minivan or something like that. And yeah. It was just horrible.
I've been stuck on the highway for hours because someone decided to take their horse for a joyride on the side of the highway. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the horse got hit because I guess it got spooked, went out on the highway and got hit by a semi. And, we were shut down for hours. That was outside of Albuquerque going east. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting one.
Yeah. Well, like you said, safety is the most important thing.
Oh, yeah.
You said that at the beginning. So that's huge. Something you wanted to do before we wrap this up was you want to give advice for drivers. So I'm
communicate,
ready.
Communicate your delays.
Yeah.
That way you watch your rear and no one can complain that you're late. Well, you communicated. All loads could always be rescheduled. A customer would rather have their load in one piece and reschedule it. Because that's part of the job. That's part of their job in the freight, in the warehouse industry. Things are going to be late. They're going to be on time. They're going to be late. They're going to be on time. Just communicate with your dispatcher, everyone. Don't call the customer and tell them. Let dispatch know, and then they can call that. You know, don't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Let your fleet manager, your boss know. Basically, type in your computer who you talk to. Let them know, hey, I need to pull off and take a nap. I'm not feeling good. I need to take a nap. I can't get out of bed. I'm puking all day long because we've all been there where we have to live on a toilet, mm-hmm. especially as a trucker. That's the worst thing you want to do is go pull over every 5 minutes to try and find a restroom as you're pinching your rear on your way into the bathroom. That's not fun. It really not. Mm. So just communicate. Be proactive. So that's the biggest word advice I can give you is be proactive.
Yes. Being proactive counts a lot. Mm. Another thing as a seasoned truck driver, give yourself plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Because the new drivers, they see that like, oh, it's a 3-hour drive. So I'm going to give myself 3 hours and 15 minutes. It's not enough. I want to say any load you get, give yourself at least an hour. If the worst that can happen, you early, pull over, read a book, play a game, whatever. But that way you're not getting a position where if something happens, you don't have those 5-10 extra minutes to pull over and do something. Sometimes even the simple fact of you don't give yourself time and now you're rushing because you need to find a bathroom, but you didn't give yourself time, so it's either pull over to go to the bathroom or be late to your appointment. So always, always, always give yourself enough time.
And proper sleep. That's the only way to drive nights is to get proper sleep during the day. Mm. If they put you on a CPAP, use it.
Yes.
That will help you breathe better, sleep better.
That's good.
And by the way, new drivers, let's just say they keep sending you to Iowa. Trucking is not a tourist destination. We go where the freight goes. So if you keep going to Iowa, fine, whatever. It is what it is.
I'd rather go to Iowa than New York.
I don't know, there's more miles going to New York.
Yeah, but I would rather tell you to take the miles to Iowa.
Yeah, it's a little bit calmer miles.
So, I mean, yeah. If they keep sending you to the Chicago area, it's not a tourist destination. We don't decide where we go. We go where the freight goes. Mm-hmm. So if they send you to New York City to any of the boroughs. Well,
we're not going there anyways. Don't worry about it, drivers.
Yeah. Where?
To New York City.
Oh, we don't?
No.
Oh, they sent me there all the time.
But no, we stopped going to the New York City for years already. I want to say at least 5-6 years.
That yeah, it's been a long time since I've been over the road with the company. It's been a long time.
I mean, we do go through New York, and yes, you still have to deal with the Washington Bridge, but we don't deliver New York like we used to. One of my nightmares as a truck driver was there with Nussbaum driving in New York City. My worst experience happened there. Really? I was delivering by the Bronx.
What happened?
It was just on the GPS map. Everything was saying on the legend of the maps that was a truck route. And it wasn't, I ran into a bridge that it was only 11 feet tall. And I needed to deliver to the Lowe's right after the bridge. So nearly I needed to call the police to have me help me out, back up like four blocks, and then take another road, go around the bridge and go out on the other side, like a detour of about an hour and a half.
Wow.
To get through the other side to deliver to the Lowe's. Wow. Because, and I mean, New York City is just crazy.
It is crazy.
And like I say, the reason why I didn't get a ticket mm-hmm. is because in my atlas, I show, look, this is the legend of this. Mm-hmm. And on the legend, these lines are truck route.
Mm-hmm.
Because that line is colored truck mm-hmm. route. My GPS, everything says truck route.
Oh.
And you have an 11-foot bridge. So...
Yeah, don't always trust
no.
Google Maps.
No.
Before we end.
I have a funny story about the Peoria Hospital. It's pretty funny.
Fire away.
Well, when you're recovering from a stroke and you're in a hospital bed and you really can't move because you don't have the strength to really do anything still yet, you're basically supposed to press a button for the nurses to help you go use the restroom. Well, this one night they couldn't get there fast enough. I get it. They have other customers to deal with. So... what do? Well, if you have to go, you have to go. So that happened twice, and I kept saying a baby keeps coming to our room pooping in my pants.
Oh, no.
So, but once I got my thoughts straight and together, I realized where the bathroom was in the room. Forget that button. If I have to go, I'm getting up and I'm going. So after like third day, I just started walking to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And they hated that because the alarm would go off on the bed when I got up. I was like, well, I'm done waiting. If I got to go, I'm going.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And then my wife was a blessing. She got hurt years ago as a CNA, so she's kind of a little familiar on how to help. But then last week or week before, like Cletus McFarlane said in an NASCAR interview, she was walking in the bathroom. She tried to zig as the dog zagged, so instead of stepping on the dog, the dog went the direction her foot went, so to avoid stepping on the dog, she tripped and landing on her knee in the bathtub and cracked her knee open. So ouch. Now she's home on crutches, too.
Ouch. Oh, I'm sorry.
And then we had that storm last Thursday come through, right?
Yeah.
Tore some shingles off my roof. Okay, that's easy. Just climb up there and hammer them down, right? Nope. I can't do that because what if, a short-term disability is watching? I can't be on the roof.
Yeah.
So now I got to pay someone to hammer down some shingles? Seriously? Like, what's next?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not really a faith people like a lot of people here. It's like everything is just being thrown at me at once right now. I'm like, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, come on, give me a break. Give me a break. How much more do I need?
Yeah.
You're throwing me so many curveballs right now. I mean, I never hit a curveball when I was younger, but still.
Yeah.
But slow the freak down.
Yeah.
That's probably the sign he's trying to tell you. Slow down.
Yeah.
I'm only 47.
That might be the message.
I'm only 47.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Slow down. I got house responsibilities. I can't be just paying anyone to do every minor repair. Yeah. That's expensive.
I know.
For a shingle, just take it now. They give me $150. What?
Mm.
Just to go.
I thought you said you live here in Bloomington, close to Bloomington.
No, Lexington.
Oh, in Lexington?
Yeah, it's
actually. There's no high school kids or anything there that can help out?
I don't know any kids.
Oh, because I'm lucky for me, I do have.
All my
I know a bunch
out.
Of kids
that
when stuff like that. I live in the second floor.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I have a bad back.
Yeah.
I every time, hey, you want to make $5?
Yeah.
Sure. Get all my groceries up there.
Yeah.
All my nieces.
Nice.
All my nieces and nephew are all in Northern California.
Did you get your roof figured out?
Oh, yeah. It's done and fixed, yes.
Okay.
But it's just, when you're so used to just doing stuff on
yourself,
your own, you can't anymore.
Okay. Well, we'll have to talk more about that after this. I do have a buddy that lives in Lexington, so I wonder if it helped
me
out or something. So,
yeah.
But before we close here, takeaways and any other shout-outs you want to give, just in general, shout-outs to family or shout-outs to anyone here?
Peg and HR. Everyone in HR. They know how to take care of the drivers when it needs to be done.
Yeah.
They know how to get the stuff done and get you back on track.
Yeah.
Yeah, short-term doesn't pay everything, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that $8 a week is better than nothing. So pay it. Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's
good.
Again, thank you, Jenny. You're a blessing to this company.
Yeah.
Yes, Peg, my yearly visit to PEG when the benefits come.
Yeah, we take a lot of people for granted and want to, so let's give them a round of applause.
Yes. Now, if I was going to put my Hall of Fame of Newsbomb employees together.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know many. You said, oh, boy?
No, just go for it.
I mean, I don't know many of them because I normally stick to myself and I just mind my own business, do my job, and go home. But Jenny and Scott Strickland would be up there with the Hall of Fame of employees and PEG. So there's three of them right there.
Nice.
Now, I don't know many of them because I mind my own, just do my own thing like a lot of us do. We just drive and go home.
Yeah.
That's just what we do. Mm-hmm. The less we talk, the quicker we get to go home. Mm-hmm. That's the way I always looked at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I appreciate you both so much, and your story is inspiring. You made me laugh, and I feel like I'm taking some stuff home to think about, thinking about practically strokes, awareness, and ways to prevent, and then in general, to how can I step up and be that person to help other people in situations like that. And Doyle, really appreciate you and wanting to share this story. I think it's a really great story. So.
Yes.
No, this man, you have a friend for life.
Likewise.
My favorite hobby is barbecue and smoking.
All right. And my favorite hobby is eating it.
Well, there you go. I'm going to fill your belly, brother. I'm going to cook you some ribs that are just going to just melt.
Nice.
Some brisket.
Yes.
I'll make you some tacos from the white guy.
Hey, I'll bring the tortillas.
Okay.
Yeah, sign me up. They're homemade, sign me up.
That's great. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. And until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, this is Lisa from Recruiting at Newsbomb, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit newsbombjobs.com. Talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Newsbomb Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Newsbomb on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.